I am amazed at the overwhelming love and support shown here today for Dee Robinson. Certainly he has had quite an impact on many, many lives. And to be sure, this is just a small representation of the lives that he touched. Amen. Welcome all of our guests and all of those that are from out of town, from Detroit and other parts. We welcome you, and we're glad that you are here. And welcome everyone to the Pentecostals of Orange Park. We're honored today to be a part of this this service. I want to give honor to all of our ministers and to our bishops and to Bishop Lester and the elders and all family members here today. Amen. We love Sister Lori Robinson. We love her family very much. And she is such a blessing to this church. Amen. 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 I feel like the Lord has given me a word today for you. I won't be long, but I do feel like the Lord has given me something to tell you. I want to go to the book of Isaiah quickly, Isaiah chapter 53. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture. Most of you can quote this, but the Bible says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." I want to speak to this congregation this afternoon, and particularly to Dee's family, to Sister Laurie, to his daughter Amber's mother, Dr. Clara Walker, and siblings and family, and on this one thought: when God is silent, you must trust him when you can't track him. When God is silent, you must trust him when you can't track him. There are times like this when God is seemingly silent. We listen, but we don't hear him. We ask him to speak, but all we hear is an echo of our own question and thoughts. Certainly there are times when God does try to speak to us, but we're distracted by all the noise in our lives and we don't hear him. But I'm talking about those times when we are driven to him by our situations and our circumstances, and we need answers and we need direction, yet he opened not his mouth. And if we lack understanding during these times, we will think that God has deserted us, or that God has abandoned us, or that God is perhaps even angry with us. Sometimes you will pray some prayers that never seem to get answered. You will inquire in your circumstance and never, it will seem, receive an answer to your inquiry. You will pray for a miracle and it doesn't come. You will feel as if God ignores you. We know that without a doubt, God hears every prayer. He hears every cry. But there are times when, in his own reasoning, he simply chooses silence. In this life, you will face devastating challenges. You will, at times, wonder where God is and why he didn't answer, and why, when we called upon him, he seemed silent. Thankfully,
under the inspiration of God's Spirit, coupled with experience, the writer of Psalm 139 said, "Where shall I go from your Spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there." But the problem is, at that crucial time, when we really need to hold on to that truth, we have a hard time wrapping our minds around that because we don't hear Him and we don't see Him. Job in our Bible is the epitome of suffering and loss. And he said this, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find Him, that I might come even to His seat. Behold, I go forward, but He is not there, and backward, and I cannot perceive Him. On the left hand, where He does work, but I cannot behold Him. He hideth Himself on the right hand, that I cannot see Him. But He knoweth the way that I take, and when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held His steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of His lips. I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. He is of one mind, and who can turn Him? And what His soul desires, even that He does. For He performs the thing that is appointed for me." Job said, "I looked in front of me. He's not there." He said, "I looked behind me, and He's not there. I looked on the left hand where He works, and He's not there. I looked on the right hand, and He's not there." He said, "But through all of that, my foot has not slipped. I couldn't find Him. I couldn't hear Him, but my foot has not slipped. I have kept the way of the Lord." Like Job, sometimes in our tragedy, we say, "I've looked for God in this, but somehow I don't see Him. I've listened for God in this, but somehow I don't hear Him. I don't understand it." But I've come this afternoon to tell somebody, the silence of God is not the same as the absence of God. And you've got to trust Him when you can't track Him. Just because you can't see God doesn't mean He isn't there. Just because God is silent doesn't mean He's not still in control. Trust. Trust is knowing that God is still God and that God is still in control when I don't see Him, when I don't hear Him, when I don't feel Him. He's working even though I can't see it. He's working even though I can't feel it. He's working even though I can't hear it. We are created to worship God. It's our primary purpose. Therefore, we must worship in triumph and in tragedy, in wealth and in want, in gain and in loss. And we worship even when God is silent. Matthew chapter 15, the Bible tells us of a woman of Canaan. It says, "Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him," Jesus, "saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord." Notice what she says. "Thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." Verse 23 says, and we understand this, "But He answered her not a word." His disciples came and besought Him, saying, "Send her away, for she's crying after us." But He answered and said, "I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came she changed her story. She came, she changed her mind. She came and said to him, she worshiped him and said, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. This woman is devastated by her circumstance, her situation. Her daughter, the Bible says, is grievously vexed with the devil. She's possessed. And this woman is beside herself, and she doesn't know what to do. And she has heard about Jesus, and she's heard he will hear and answer prayer. She's heard the miracles that he's done. And so she says, "I've got to give this a try." And so she goes to him. Amen. Nobody else has been able to help her. And so she comes to Jesus for help. And when she approaches him, the Bible says he answered her not a word. He's silent. You see, this woman was from Canaan. She's not a Jew. She was not of the, quote, house of Israel, end quote. But instead of being honest before God, she's trying to act like something she's not. And she says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." That's Jewish speak. She had no business addressing him that way. She's trying to be something she's not. She's trying to use somebody else's identity. She's trying to act like something she wasn't to God. But you can't go to God acting like something you're not, using phrases and words that you heard will work. And so the Bible says he answered her not a word. He's silent. But then suddenly she gets honest and she throws down the facade and she throws away the fakery. And the Bible says she worshiped and said, "Lord, help me." This woman is an example because she refused to let his silence silence her. And Jesus said, "Great is your faith." She tried the fancy words. She tried the phrases. She tried the cliches. And she tried words that she had heard other people say. But when God remained silent, all she knew to do was worship. And when she worshiped, his heart melted and he moved in her mess. She worshiped him in his silence. She trusted him when she couldn't track him. And that's what moved him to minister in her needs. Why is God sometimes silent when we need him most? Ironically, it's for our own benefit. His silence brought that woman from a lack of understanding and superficial phrases to a place of pure and sincere worship. He helped her immensely before he ever moved in her situation. The scripture that we began with a moment ago, and I'm coming to a close here, but Isaiah 53 is a sobering prophecy revealing the depths of the suffering of Jesus Christ and the reason for the crucifixion, which, of course, is you and me. It says again, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We did esteem him, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was silent. He's brought like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb or silent. So he opened not his mouth. Why was he silent? For your benefit and mine. He could have spoken a word and the perpetrators would have been struck with blindness or painful disease. He could have spoken a word and 10,000 angels would have descended upon those soldiers and those Jews responsible for such cruelty. But had he opened his mouth and spoke, then he would not have borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Had he opened his mouth, then he would not have been wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Had he spoken, there would be no stripes by which we are healed. And so when God is silent, it's for our own benefit. When God is silent, he's working in a realm beyond our understanding. When God is silent, he's still God and he's still in control. When he speaks, creation happens. When he speaks, miracles happen. But when God is silent, he's doing something that is greater than a creation that will be taken for granted and eventually will be destroyed. He's doing something greater than a miracle that will be forgotten. When God is silent, he's trying to do something in us that has eternal benefits. Remember, Jesus was all man, yet he was all God. Fully God, fully human. And in his humanity, he prayed in the garden, "Let this cup pass from me." But God was silent. The Bible says sweat was as great drops of blood falling to the ground. His anguish was unbearable. But God was silent. In his humanity, the Bible says, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" When God is silent, he's doing something greater than giving you an answer. Amen. And as I close, just because God is quiet doesn't mean he has quit. He's working. He's working. He's working. Even when you can't see him, even when you can't hear him, even when you can't feel him, he's working. Let's stand today and lift our voices one more time and give him praise in this place. Oh, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord God. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord God. We love you, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Know that he's working. Know that he's working on your behalf. Amen. Let's bow our heads one more time this afternoon. Wonderful Savior, we stand here before you knowing that we are nothing without you and we can't do anything without you. Oh Lord God, in this time, we desperately need your help. And I pray today, we agree together today in this congregation, Lord God, for your mighty hand. We pray, God, for your comfort. We pray, let the Holy Ghost comfort the family of D. Robinson. Let them feel your peace and strength. Let them feel your presence, Lord God. And in the days to come, when they think of him and begin to suddenly miss him and their heart breaks all over again, let the Holy Ghost move in a special and mighty way. Surround Sister Laurie, God, with your presence. And Amber and his mother and all of these relatives and siblings and friends and family. Let them feel the comfort of the Holy Ghost. We ask it in Jesus' name. We pray. Go with every one of us today. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody said amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God.